Okay, welcome everyone. Just wanted to review one thing from last week, and then we'll start today's lesson. We were talking a little bit about kosher symbols last week, and it's really confusing to everybody, and it is a confusing subject. It's somewhat similar to getting invited to people's houses who you don't know. And they say they keep kosher, and you don't know how kosher they keep. Would you eat there? Would you not eat there? What if they just started keeping kosher? They're not that familiar. Well, maybe you'd eat some things there, but not more complicated things. And so in kosher, there are certain certifications that are easy. There are professional organizations that are run by communities, by rabbanim, that are respected. And even though everybody makes mistakes, and that's everybody, myself included, and sometimes you pick up the wrong item when you're shopping, sometimes you use the wrong spoon or the wrong piece of silverware, that's something everybody does, but at least there are organizations of people that fear Hashem and try to do it right. Then there are organizations that some of them we don't even know if they're Jewish. They're just out there, people send in a check and they get a kosher symbol. The same way some people send away for a degree from college and they get it in the mail. These organizations send out a kosher symbol and they don't mean anything. Sometimes the items are kosher anyways, but the certification, if it needs certification, doesn't mean anything. The most confusing area is a few that are a little bit gray. And what it means is gray is that they've made, either it's an organization that's made some mistakes, perhaps somebody noticed in certain areas they're not as sophisticated as some of the other organizations, maybe they don't supervise their plants regularly. So if you want to say, I only want to use the best certifications, so maybe you don't want to use those certifications. If, on the other hand, you feel as long as it's somebody who does some checking, that's good enough for me, so then maybe it would be good enough. And then maybe it depends on what kind of item it is. If it's an item that only needs minimal checking, then that certification is good enough. And so we had black and we had white and then we had gray. And those were on the list. Within the gray area, there is a certification there, and you could rely on it if you were stuck. The question is, if you have choices, whether or not you'd be comfortable with it. Okay. Now today I wanted to talk about what's called bedikas taloyim, checking for insects. And insects are actually forbidden from the Torah. And on the other hand, the Torah wants us to enjoy the world that Hashem gave us. And that would include eating salads and vegetables and all kinds of healthy things. And with that, though, we're obligated before we eat to make sure that we're not eating insects. There's an interesting, someone told me an interesting idea. The Torah says that if you eat things that are not kosher, that it makes a person impure. It makes a person's heart impure. It dulls the senses to sin. So if you put effort into keeping kosher, it's the opposite. It makes you holy. So whenever you put effort into checking vegetables or locating something with the heksher, so we always know that if a person eats something not kosher or he's not careful with kashrus, it can dull his mind to sin. So too, if a person puts effort into kashrus, it can help a person, it can make them holy, it makes them special, and it's the, sometimes we don't see how the work that we do changes the things that we do, but we know that certain people raised in certain households turned out okay, and certain place people raised in certain households don't seem to turn out okay, and so we're told that if you're careful with the kashrus of the food, that helps creates a certain purity. Now, I brought here today, just to show you, three different guides to checking for insects. First, we have the OU guide, which is available. You can get any of these online. This is the Circle K guide. This is the Cuff K guide. And the one that we have in our newsletter is the Star K. And there are different reasons why different agencies have different rules, but if you actually would try to follow each of them, each one is a little bit different when it comes to how to check different vegetables and berries for insects. And that's confusing. And I think this is where people get confused. There are many places where people get confused, that when it comes to halacha, for example, we have with matzah, that if the flower sits 18 minutes, it becomes chametz. And that's an exact figure. You know, if you're baking matzah and you're watching the clock and it hits 18 minutes, after that it's chametz. You have to get rid of it. And we have many halachas that are like that, where there's an exact amount. The halacha gives us very specific guidelines. When it comes to checking for insects, these are not halachas, meaning that if it says in one of the guides, soak it for 5 minutes, if you soak it for 4 minutes and 30 seconds, it's fine. If it says that you soak it with a little bit of salt, and instead you want to use vegetable wash, that's fine. If instead of vegetable wash, your grandmother said use vinegar, that's fine. The goal is that we need to have an effective method for cleaning the produce that we have to clean it from bugs. Whatever you find effective with the equipment that you have, it's really not important how you get there. Sometimes you can buy the produce and it's already washed. The most important thing, and this is what the Torah requires you to do, is to visually check that the insects are gone. But how you get to that point, there are different ideas that different people have about what's the most effective way. So on these guidelines, including the ones that we put out, which are basically from the Star K, you don't have to get hung up on, well, what size bowl do I have, and did I do it enough minutes, and is it enough soap, is it not enough soap, if I did. The goal, though, is that whatever process you use for cleaning, that you have a person who could testify in front of a Jewish court of law, an observant person, who believes in Jewish law, has visually inspected the item and feels that within reason, the item is perfectly clean. And that's all. Now, how do you, certain items, we have different ways of getting them clean, but again, it's not, the most important thing is the checking, not the washing. Now, if you check and you find hundreds of bugs, it means you're going to have to wash it again because you don't want to, the goal is to wash it in a way that by the time you get to checking, it's all clean. But it's the most important thing is the checking. If you have visually inspected the leaf and you've turned it around and you've seen on all sides that the leaf is clean, then if you skip the washing, it doesn't bother us. In other words, you can. The goal is the washing is just a way to get it clean. Okay, and what we're going to do is we're going to show some, this is on the Star K website, they have, they're really short, they're only about 2 minutes each. There are three different videos about checking different things for insects. Now, the value of these videos and what we're going to show you is that sometimes it's only an insect that you can see with your eyes. If it's an insect that you need a microscope to see or even a magnifying glass, you're not obligated to check with a magnifying glass. The problem is that sometimes you see it, but you don't know what it is. And so you use a magnifying glass, so you see that little green spot, it's a bug. Once you know it's a bug, then you don't need a magnifying glass anymore. You know anytime you see that green spudgeon, that's a bug. But if you have to have the magnifying glass to even see it, you don't have to worry about it. The magnifying glass is only if you see something, and you're not sure if that's a bug, do I have to be worried about it? So then you may want to pull out the mat and see if it has legs. You know, see if that's something that you want to worry about. But if you don't see anything, then it's perfectly fine. But you have to put a reasonable amount of effort to know how to look for insects and what they look like. And that's where the videos are helpful. And we'll take a look now if we can. If we can. This, how our technology works.
StarK.org.
Look at the light.
There we go. Okay. Now you just gotta get started. You probably have to cut the volume up.
There are three main species, salad, lettuce, and other leafy vegetables. Aphids, roots, and fly. Aphids are small, brown,
and
green bugs.
You can do it right there. That one will.
Very difficult.
Just keep seeing better.
You can look on your screen.
Color and size.
Rabbi, right, you can look on this screen. Yeah, I think maybe we'll restart it.
But you can constantly check for aphids. It's advisable to use a light box. The thicker insect remains dark while light passes through.
Okay. Let's try to restart.
elongated brown insect.
This is lettuce, and we'll restart this in a second after I left. We can get the volume up, and then we'll restart it in a minute. Okay. There's basically two ways to check things, two kinds of methods for checking. There's leafy checking, and then there are things that are not in leaf form. Everything I find... we'll restart in a minute, as soon as you're ready. See if we can get the volume up any higher. That's not good. Okay. Is it ready to start over? I can actually do the talking it's hard to move the mouse. Okay, let's start it over once. The whole thing's only a minute and a half. Okay. Is it from the beginning? Okay. We'll try to hear it, and then I'll try to comment. But again, it's only a minute and a half. Please bear with us. It's useful to see because they magnify the insects, so you get a good idea of what we're looking for. Okay. Now I'll go back to this way. There's three main species of maybe let's turn the wording off, and then I'll just talk if that works.
Small
okay. I'll try to talk. If you get it, you'll let me... These are basically two different videos. Each one is 1 is 2 minutes and 1 is 1 minute. One was on strawberries and one was on lettuce. If we get them, they're useful because they basically show you the kind of insects that we're looking for. Hopefully we'll get it in a minute or two. I've got here a piece of romaine. So there's two basic methods of checking. One is for leafy things, which are big leaves, and the other is for small things like broccoli, cauliflower, herbs, things that are too small to actually look at the leaf. So with all leafy things, you have to actually look at the leaf. You can't just put it in water and look at the water or the... And the reason why is this, especially with romaine, the bugs tend to get in the fold of the leaf. So if you put it in water, it won't help because the fold sometimes covers over the bug. And so when you get a leaf and you want to check it, you want to pull it out so that you can see that there's no fold. Sometimes what will happen is there'll be certain pieces that, like this, you see this piece up here? As it was washed and folded, it just got folded over like that. So there's a good chance that when you open that fold, there might be a little insect in the crease. So with all leafy lettuce, you want to wash it and clean it, whatever method is effective. After it's been washed and clean, you want to visually look at both sides, and you just want to, if there's a fold, you want to pull out the fold so that you can see if there's any insect in the fold. And that's basically what you do for any kind of lettuce. It's a little harder on lettuce than something like romaine because the buds are green. And so they're sometimes hard to see because there's different shades of green. This is where people like to use a light box, because what happens is that when you put it on a light box or you have a very good light, that it makes just like an x-ray where you can see something from the back of the x-ray. When you put it on a light box, you're able to see the bugs better. You don't have to have a light box, but you'll feel a lot better that you've done a good job of checking. We don't require it, but we recommend it. Okay, have we figured it out yet, or still get in trouble? Okay, so this is the leafy kind of thing. The big leafy kind of thing, again, you want to visually inspect both sides, and you want to pull out any folds. If you've done that, that's fine. There's a way to do it that's pretty quick, and that is you can combine the washing and the checking in one step. And that is, if you have the water running, you can hold it under the sink and visually inspect it as you're cleaning it. And you're using the water can be washing it as you do it in one. And if you see a bug, you have the water running, you'll just wash that bug right off. And then if you have a stack, you can, instead of washing each piece and then checking each piece, you can actually check it as you wash it. And that's pretty effective. Yeah.
One thing is, just as a recommendation, don't have organic lettuce ever. It's so ridden with bug ridden, it's impossible to check it for. That's what I found when I got romaine organic lettuce.
Right now,
I found like 15 bugs just on each lettuce.
I bought organic broccoli today. I was cheating a little. I wanted to make sure I'd find bugs, and I have the results, just the first batch on there, and there's a whole bunch of bugs there on the light box. Most of them are dead, I think. Now, what happens if you find a bug? No problem. You wash it off, you clean it off, and then it should be fine. But after you find a bug or two, you check. What happens if you keep on finding bugs? So that's where sometimes the produce is just really so bad that you just don't feel like you can ever get rid of them, because the more you seem to find, you find more and more. So that's the stage where something is just so infested that it's really not a good idea to eat it. Because it's very hard to feel confident that you've gotten rid of all of the insects. That's what I talked about, if you find more than three, or if you find more than... But basically, it's really just a common sense kind of thing. Sometimes you find, like, one of the things that people aren't aware of is that really anything can be infested. In other words, we always talk about lettuces and broccoli. We've had a problem, especially in this community, with things like barley, dry barley, that every now and then, and it's actually more common in the kosher brands, the ones that, like Manischewitz or Stripes or those little packs, because they tend to be older than the supermarket brands. Like, it doesn't have to be that way. It could be the supermarket brands are older. It could be that. But see, the kosher brands are packaged up in New York, and then they're sent down to a distributor here. And then the distributor sends them to the supermarket. So by the time it gets packaged in New York, sent to the distributor there. And then it gets shipped down to the distributor here. And then it gets sent to the supermarket. And then it's not always rotated. So some of the dry, anytime you have a dry bean product or a dry barley, there's a chance that the infestation develops. And so, when you put it into water, you just want to look at it to see. It'll be really obvious. I've had numbers of calls on Fridays with people who got chowans ruined from barley and dried beans, where they put it in the water, and right away things start rising to the top. All you have to do is look. It's kind of an obvious kind of thing to see. But anything could be infested. You're only obligated to check when it's common to be infested. We just had two mishpat with the dried fruit. And even dried fruit that comes in with a kosher symbol, if it's been sitting around a long time, it could be infested. In other words, when it came out of the factory, the inspectors made sure there were no insects in it. But at any time, dried fruit can develop insects. And so we recommend anytime you have dried fruit, taking three of them out of the package and cutting them open and checking and looking for insects or worms or anything like that. It's just relatively common. Have we any progress? We had it before. Here. Okay. Now we'll go to the second kind of checking.
Can you buy dried beans without a mixture?
Yeah, any kind of dried beans is fine. Okay.
Rabbi, on the lettuce issue, especially the romaine, mm-hmm. you know, the triple washed romaine in the bags, I know that that has to be clean. Which is easier to clean? You have to go leaf by leaf with the romaine in the bag, you know, that doesn't have a mixture.
Right.
But
well,
it's already triple washed.
Right. So some people were under the impression that when something is washed, that means it necessarily doesn't have bugs. That's not so. Most of the places where they wash it, they recycle the water, especially now. And so the bugs get washed off the water and they stay on the same leaf. They recycle the bugs in the water. And we found that we go to pre-washed places every single morning and we check the runs. It's many, many times there are bugs in the best pre-wash. And there are different kinds of lines. See, they have some lettuces are more sensitive than others. And if the lettuce is a very sensitive lettuce, they don't put it through. It's almost like the non-abrasive car washes, if your finish isn't too. So there are certain companies don't do it as vigorously because it's rougher on the lettuce. So if it's a certified lettuce, it means that it's a much stronger wash, that they're satisfied that it's getting rid of the insects. Whereas the non-certified, you may not have to wash it first because it's already been washed. All you want to do is to check it and make sure the insects aren't there. So we talked about lettuce. Let's talk about broccoli, cauliflower, and herbs.
Mm-hmm.
So,
on the lettuce part,
yeah.
Like, let's say you get one of those bags and presses on your banana house and it makes lettuce.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's not like a leaf, it's like cut pieces. So, do you have to examine every piece?
So, if it's a leaf lettuce, so you should examine every piece. Just look at each piece. You don't have to wash it. I find if they're small pieces, it's easy to just to throw them all in a light box. Like this, let's say if you have the pre-washed lettuce, because you can see through it very clearly. It's very easy to see it. Whereas if you have a small leaf and you have to hold each one up to your eye, it's a little very hard to do that. Now, with herbs, broccoli, cauliflower, this isn't an herb, any kind of thing where obviously you can't see each individual leaf on something like this. It's very tiny. So, same thing with broccoli. It has those little florets. I have some broccoli over there that I'll show you later. The little florets, there's no way with just visually looking at it that you can see if it has an insect. So the way you check it is that you wash it in water and you check the water and see if the water is insect-free. If the water is insect-free, then you can use the item. Now, the first time you wash it, it's not going to be clean. It'll be, if there's dirt, there could be insect. Oh, we got it. Okay. I'll turn the lights up. This is the lettuce here. It's going to show you where the insects are found.
There are three main species found on lettuce and other leafy vegetables. Aphids, thrips, and flies. Aphids are small, round, green bugs. Very difficult to see with the naked eye. Their color and size allow them to become virtually invisible. Most aphids measure about 1 millimeter in length, but the size of the letters are limited. To properly check for aphids, it is advisable to use a light box. The bigger insect remains dark while light passes through the leaf. Thrips are small, elongated, brown insects. Roughly the same length as an aphid, these pests are only half the width. You were mistaken for a piece of dirt. Takes some practice to recognize what is insect and what is not. In the beginning, many find it helpful to have a magnifying glass or duet on hand to confirm the actual identity of the insect. Thrifting is very quick, and they run under curls and points when exposed to light. Vegetable flies resemble houseflies, but twice the size of aphids and thrips. This black, green insect is easier to find.
We lost it.
Cut to the curl leaves. And the removes many of the bugs. Checking a leaf is not an easy task. Lay the leaf on a light box and carefully check every inch for insects, uncurling leaves and flattening bulges as you search. Make sure you see light pass through the entire leaf.
You're doing it very slowly. In practice, you go a lot quicker to put it down. You know, the...
On the first side of done, flip it over and repeat the process. If no insects are found, that leaf may be eaten. If there are bugs present, remove them before eating the leaf.
Really?
Here we have some insects.
If you could just click on the next one, the strawberry one, if you could find it. Okay, so that's the basic leaf lettuce. The next kind that we started talking about is the smaller ones where you check the water. So, and start it over. Just click it off from the top. Go back to my library. You can get this is my library. Click that. Okay, yeah, go to the next one right there. Okay. This, we'll go to the strawberry one just so we can be finished with this. Okay? I'm sorry. Indulge me. This is the bug on the strawberries. In this summer, it became a big problem in New York because the... Either that or vegetable rinse. They make the special rinse. It's the same chemical as soap, except it doesn't have the scent. The soap has the same way it cleans your hands, it'll clean off the insects.
Soap tends to work better than salt and vinegar.
It makes it slick. But you still have
okay,
to cut off the top.
Fine. Oh,
yeah. The third one?
No, the third one we can skip. That's the flower. You visually scan them. I don't think you have to hold them up, you know, close to them. So this is what we do for, like, the broccoli. I have a batch of broccoli here. What happened, this was an organic broccoli, and I gave you the first run, which I never checked. I have a magnifying glass here. Now, what I mean is, like, there's two problems. Whenever you check something that's coming from the field, the first time, there's going to be a lot of stuff coming to the top. In other words, if you put in, like, a broccoli or an herb, mint, so it doesn't even pay to try to see what's a bug and what's just part of the florets. So I just recommend dumping out the first rinse. In other words, you've put the broccoli in, you put the herb in, and you agitate it, and then just pour it out, and then add new water. And that water, if it's mostly clean, then you can check it. If that water is still dirty, sometimes with broccoli, it'll take 2 or 3 dumps to get it clean. When it's mostly clean, then you're at the stage where you can see if there are any bugs there. So if you're at the point where there's hardly anything floating, so then you can look, is it green and part of a floret and it's fine? Or is it black and it's a bug? But if you've dumped, you know, it's much easier to do that than to sit there and go through. This is the first rinse over here. When on the way out, if you're wanting, you can have a look at it. But the first rinse has so many different pieces in it, it's very hard to check. And it's very unlikely, especially with broccoli, that it'll be bug-free. This organic broccoli is really disgusting. I don't have any better word to show you. This over here was this... This was in a local restaurant. I won't tell you which one. I was debating whether it's good that they check so carefully in the restaurant, or maybe you won't want to eat the restaurant because they use dill that has the this one pack of dill. They found 4 bugs in it, and that's in these different containers over here. From I stopped at 2 or 3 different restaurants, and I asked the mashgichim if they could save the bugs for me today. it's easier just to dump the water until it comes clean. Now, how do you know if the water is clean? So, one easy way is to just take the water and put it over a light box. Take this and put this over a light box, and then the light shines right through it, and you get a really good view of it. Sometimes you don't have a light box, so you can just hold it up to the light, you know, and look at it closely.
You don't have to look at the pieces of
vegetable itself? No, when you're checking the water, you're just looking at the water. One other variation of this is to take a cup and put the cup in the water and hold up several cups of water from different parts that you've checked. If the water is clean, then you can use whatever it is that you've checked there. And that's best. Today, the best working thing to clean vegetables or strawberries or berries are vegetable rinses. They make professional vegetable rinses in the stores. They're usually in the produce section, and most of them have a hechsher, and they're designed to help clean off the waxes and also to clean off anything that's left on the field, any pesticides. But they basically clean, they have what's called a surfactant, and they clean in the cleaning process, the bugs will fall off. Now, dishwashing soap has the same chemicals that the vegetable rinse has. And it's healthy, you're allowed to eat it, it's designed, it doesn't hurt anybody. And it's about a tenth of the price. So, secretly, I won't tell you which one, but in a lot of places, the vendors don't pay the price for the expensive vegetable rinse, they just use dishwashing soap. The problem with dishwashing soap is it has a nice smell. But you don't want that in your strawberries. So if you rinse it enough, it'll go away. If you rinse it too, it's the same way your dishes and your hands don't smell like the soap after a while. But it's up to you. It doesn't sound appetizing to think that they use dishwashing soap on your strawberries and on your herbs. But if you don't want to spend the money or you don't have easy access to it, it really is fine and is very commonly used by people. Just the same way you use to clean your hands, if you have raw produce, it's very, very effective. If you don't want to use the soap, again, you can use salt, you can use vinegar, you can agitate it thoroughly, whatever works. But the same way on your hands, the easiest thing is to use soap or to use a chemical that's designed to loosen the dirt. The same thing is true of these cleaners.
It's helpful to put salt in the water like it can be the broccoli. It's helpful to have salt in it.
It is. Some people say it is, but whatever. Well, it's actually with salt. They say if you put salt, what salt does is it makes the live bugs drop off. Because they don't like the salt. But if you put too much water, too much salt, it kills them. So they say just to lightly salt it is helpful.
From experience,
in all soap
that works better than anything else.
Hand soap or liquid soap?
The liquid
soap.
The Dawn.
The soap
on lettuce?
Yep.
You've got to make the sink of water,
right.
Put the soap in, agitate it, then put the vegetable in. Don't put the soap on the vegetable.
No, I know that. No, put it in.
Yeah, and then rinse
it off. You can do it with lettuce?
Yeah, it's gone.
So the bugs would die with the soap, right?
Yeah, well, the idea is to get them to drop off as well. Now, there's two...
then you wouldn't have to check it, too.
Yeah, you always do.
Now, one other way of checking the water is taking like a coffee filter or a napkin and just pouring the water on the napkin, and then you can just see. That's actually what I did with this broccoli, and that's also an easy way to check the water. So again, you soak it. You want to soften it up. You want to get whatever the bugs to fall off. And you put it in the water, you agitate it, and then you then you can either one, you run it through here or there. Now there are two or three things that are hard to check, and the reason why is that your water is not going to reach the area where the bugs are hiding. And the first one is these onions, scallions. Thank you. Ooh, it just found a bug, but I wasn't even looking for it. The problem with scallions are the bugs are inside these straw parts. And so if you're going to wash it, the water is never going to get in the inside of the straw part. So on the other hand, it's not that common, Baruch Hashem, that scallions always have bugs on the inside of the straw parts. So what they recommend to do, and this is what we recommend, is cutting three out of a bunch. Okay, pulling out three. Take a knife and cut along. And then look and just visually inspect it where you've made the cut, especially near the bottom part by the white. That's where the bugs tend to be. So I have a minute afterwards. I'll cut one up and I'll show you. And if those three are perfectly clean, then you don't need to cut them all open. You could always cut them all open, but we basically go, and our Atlanta Kashrus follows what's called Chazaka, which means that if you check part and it's perfectly fine, and it's not something that you know is infested, you're not obligated to check the entire amount. So that's like we said with the dried food. If you cut open three and they're clean, you don't have to assume that there are bugs in the rest. Things that we know that there are bugs in, like lettuces and broccoli, you can't just check three because we know there are bugs there. But something where you really don't know if there are bugs, you have a hidden part. You've got these hidden straws that you have no idea if the bugs climbed in the fields. So you just take three, cut them open, you don't see anything, and so you can hopefully serve the rest at your table without having any surprises. Yeah?
What can you do about
that's next.
Okay. And also, I keep hearing things about celery.
Celery, the good news is there's nothing hidden, meaning that it's all in the open. So if there's dirt there, so wherever there's dirt, there's bugs and there's eggs, and so you have to wash that area off or scrub it with a brush, or it should be clean. But if it's clean, if it's visually clean, then you don't need to formally check it because it's all in the open. It's not like here where it's inside the straw. Or in the asparagus, the bugs.
We found bugs in celery last week.
Did you? Wow. Okay. Now, you don't have to be Jewish to wash the bugs or clean them. In other words, if you have other cooks or people, they can wash the lettuce, they can clean the celery, you just need a person that follows the laws of the Torah, a person that is believed to testify in front of a Beis Din that visually inspected them that they're bug-free. But if you have someone who can do the hard, wants to do the cleaning of the lettuce or the leaf, they can do that. That's no problem. Now with this, I think I had a knife over here. Where? Do you not need it? No. Okay. Thank you.
Does this soap need a hexer?
Especially
if you're going to wash vegetables?
Yeah. So our policy is that it should have a hexer. Okay. If it does not have a hexer, it would not make things non-kosher. There are different reasons why for that. It's unlikely to have animal fat, and if it does, it's with other chemicals, and so it's not really a food. But we recommend for dishwashing soap that it have a hexer. On the asparagus, the problem is the bugs, you can wash this, but if the bugs are behind these pieces of asparagus or in the top, they won't come out. So in order for you to eat it, you need to make sure there's no bugs hiding behind these places. So if you don't rely on chazaka, which is checking part, and assuming the rest is like that, you'll have to peel off all of them. And there are people that do that, but there's not much asparagus left. What you do is you peel back the triangles.
Here, you can do it right on top of here. Mm-hmm.
You peel back the triangles, and look at the very bottom. And if you see little black dots, little bugs there, then you know that there could be bugs in the entire rest of the batch. And you shouldn't use any of it unless you peel it all back. And you also peel off the top.
Now, whenever we walk into meet a new chef who's never seen us do that, they think we're going to do this to every single one, and they get very nervous because obviously it doesn't look very appealing. But if you just pick out three out of the whole bunch that you're using, and on those three you've checked into all the nooks and crannies and you've peeled it away, and you found nothing, then you're allowed to assume that the rest is clean, and then you can just wash it as you would any other vegetable, you know, wash it and soak it well. So that's for the asparagus. And then one final thing. The basic concept, we could actually spend more time on it, but I don't have, I want to cover some other things.
Could I have more of those coffee...
Thank you. Oh, here we are. We're talking about insects. So again, if it's a big leaf, you check that you visually inspect the leaf and you pull out any folds. If it's tiny things, you wash it in a water, you clean it any method that's vigorous and that will work, and then you check the water. Strawberries, they had a big problem with this summer, as we saw in the thing, they're all those kind of white bugs, and they don't come off easily either. But again, if the person, obviously once you know they're there, and if your person is careful with it, if the person is believed to check it, we actually have in our newsletter, and again, people are welcome to borrow, there's different methods that are different places used to check strawberries.
Is there a problem to let them sit in the
cozy water
for a little bit of time, or do you need to do it
all
right then and there?
If it's a problem. I don't know whether it would start getting softer.
A lot of caterers don't like them wet.
Yeah. Now, as far as the tops, we recommend that the tops be cut off, but it's not an absolute requirement. The problem with those tops of the strawberries are it's just like a leaf of lettuce. Whenever you have a leaf, the bugs tend to be in there. So it's much easier just to cut off the tops and not have to worry about it. But if for some reason you want to check the tops, you're welcome to do that. If if it's worth the trouble, if you want to dip them or something and you want to, wash the... But the real problem is to get the bugs that are on those little white bugs that they show in the picture to get those off.
What did the APC say about frozen vegetables needing extra, like broccoli?
Well, until now, we've said that frozen vegetables are fine. Last week, the Star K put out an alert about frozen broccoli, but we haven't yet decided what our policy is going to be on it, so we can talk about that more. Now, raspberries, now the basic problem is anytime, again, you see something, so any vegetable you have, as long as you clean it thoroughly, you've got rid of the bugs. It's common sense. But just like the asparagus had that area where the bugs are hiding, and it's not going to come off if you wash it because the bugs are behind it. And just like on the scallions, the bugs are hiding in these things and they're not going to come off, so you owe it to yourself to at least cut it open and check. And just like in the dried fruit, and when you get those figs that are from Pakistan that have been took a year to get over here in the ship, you cut open a few of them just to make sure that when you bite into it, you don't have a surprise. So raspberries... they have a problem. And other berries, at least the area that you're cleaning is open. When you wash, some people don't want to get them wet because they get kind of mushy and some people don't want to get them wet at all. But even if you don't mind getting it wet, the water won't go into the hole. And so if the water doesn't go into the hole, guess what? There's all kinds of insects that like to go into those holes. There's a certain kind of bug that goes into the hole. So there's a few different ways to check if there are insects in the hole. You can cut a few open, slice it through the middle, and check it, and you'll see right away if there's any insects in the hole. That's one way. You can drop it. And believe it or not, they fall off. If you take and drop the raspberries one by one onto a white napkin, if there are insects in it, it looks a little bit like straw. They're like a... and they'll fall out. And then the third way, and this is the Star K says it, but you may not like it, is to blow into it. Now, I have, we have one facility where they have, you know those ketchup bottles that caterers like to put ketchup into it so it squeezes it? So instead of blowing it with the mashgiach's mouth, which just doesn't, I don't know if any, there's no bugs there, it just doesn't sound nice to have the mashgiach blow it. So he uses like a ketchup bottle. And blows air into each one so he can find out if there's anything in the raspberry. I didn't have a chance to see if this batch is good or not. Generally speaking, the winter is much better than the summer.
On all the vegetables.
On all the vegetables and all the herbs and all the
items. Can you only count a couple of them? I mean, a few of those, and then you can assume the rest of them?
If it's not a buggy season, then you can check a few, and that's fine. If it's a season where you're finding bugs and people are finding bugs, and so you know they're there, then you want to check all of them or more. And this is true of the lettuces as well. If it's, for whatever reason, Passover always falls out in the worst season for romaine. And so that's why, you know, when you check the romaine lettuce for Passover, we're very thorough, because that time of year happens to be the buggiest time. There are other times of year where romaine is really not bad. It just depends on the season of the... So if you made it a reasonable attempt to check and you're not finding insects, so that's fine. Now, every now and then I get a call from Ashkia, he's so excited, he found a bug. Why? Because he was checking for a long time, and he wasn't sure if he was really doing a good job checking, because he never found anything. And then when he finally found something, then he knew that it was there, and he was really doing an effective job. Okay.
Can I ask one more question? So about the lettuce, the bagged lettuce, there's no difference between thoroughly washed and triple washed and whatever. You still have to...
You still have to check it.
You have to check all of them, or you can do a couple handfuls, and then...
That's a good question. So... On those kinds of lettuce, that it's not that common to have insects, like iceberg lettuce and like cabbage. So many people say you can do a sampling of it, you know, three handfuls, or check a reasonable sampling of it. On those kind of lettuces that we know tend to be full of insects, things like spinach, things like romaine. So those kind of lettuces, they say it's not reasonable just to do part, because we know the bugs are there. We know if you go through a whole batch, you're going to find. So it really depends on the type of thing that you're using. Sometimes what you can do, if you have a certain thing that you like and you always buy the same brand and you check the whole thing every single time for 3, 4, 5 weeks and it's always clean, then at that point you probably aren't obligated to check the whole thing. You could just do a sampling, because you already found that this particular brand is washed very thoroughly and you don't have a problem. Unless the season changes, and sometimes certain brands they get from one country, and then when the season changes they get from another country, and then even though this you were buying it the whole winter, it was fine, all of a sudden in the spring it may change. But really, as long as you're on top of it and you're checking it well, you'll probably notice if the quality goes down.
So it doesn't matter if it has a
hexer. Well, if it has a reliable hexer, that's no problem.
Then we don't have to check.
Then you don't have to check. That's correct. Okay. Now, we'll get back to this, but I wanted to talk about two or three other things that I left out, because even though I'm sure we'll have other kashrut series, I don't know when the next one will be. So I wanted to cover just a few things that I have. Yes?
Charlie, you know how you have the broccoli slaw?
Mm-hmm.
I usually look through and see if it's
it's very small, we recommend checking the water. It's like coleslaw, or just put it in water and make sure there's nothing floating in the water. That'd be the way to go. Yeah. That's a good question. I'm not sure. I'm investigating right now if there's a good way to check frozen broccoli. I'm not sure. The star case says they're fine, frozen strawberry. Also fine. The star case says they're fine. No, frozen vegetables are fine. Frozen fruits. Frozen and frozen vegetables, but we're in the middle of, there's been a broccoli alert that we're examining right now.
Frozen fruit doesn't need a hexer.
Correct. Frozen fruit doesn't need a hexer. That's correct. Spinach and broccoli are what they sent an alert out on. And
stuff like cauliflower and broccoli, I mean, do you have to break it up to wash it? Can you use like
Yeah.
If
it's like broccoli where the florets are open, so you really need to break it up in order for the washing to be thorough. And the same thing is true of lettuce. If you're checking, if you're checking lettuce, in order to check it, you have to pull it apart. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the five areas of rabbinic law in kashrus. The rabbis forbid five different things. And they're all for similar reasons. That is, the cooking of a Gentile, the bread of a Gentile, the milk of a Gentile, the wine of a Gentile, and the cheese of a Gentile. Five different things that were forbidden rabbinically. And the number one reason was because these items could be made non-kosher, and therefore you should only use them
if a Jew was involved in the process, whether it be cooking of a Gentile, whether it be the bread of a Gentile, the milk of a Gentile, and all of these, it was relatively common or easy for them to become non-kosher. And therefore, the rabbis made a decree that even if nothing... You found a bug? Oh, you're kidding.
Right there. Wow. Alive. Yeah, alive.
Very alive. Okay, I'm glad. The reason why I'm glad, not because I like bugs, because people never believe that there really are bugs in our food, especially something so wholesome.
You want to put them on here?
Yeah. Well, he's right there on the, it's a big one, too. There he is in the moment. It's alive, too. My goodness.
Could you repeat those five things again?
Okay. I'll go through them now slowly. I'm sort of running out of time, but we'll see if we can do this. Okay. Okay. So, sure. The decree on bread of Gentiles, that's called Pas Akum. Now, because Jews sometimes find themselves in different places, and if you can't eat Gentile bread that's made by a Gentile, and you have no bread to eat, you could starve. And there were times the Jews were not in places where they could get kosher food. So the rabbis made the rules of non-Jewish bread more lenient. And that's why in today's world, according to Jewish law, if you don't have Jewish bread available at the same price or the same quality, it's perfectly okay, according to the Shulchan Aruch, to use non-Jewish bread that was totally baked by a non-Jew as long as it's kosher. Some people who are extra pious, usually Hasidim, they only use Pas Yisrael. But that's not a halacha, that's an extra strictness. That's not something that anybody really is required to worry about according to the letter of the law. Everybody agrees. The letter of the law does not require it to be Pas Yisrael. Some people feel for Shabbos you certainly should have it, and it's certainly a good idea. I'm all for it. Don't quote me wrong, but in terms of Jewish law, it's not required to have Pas Yisrael at all. Bishul Yisrael, cooking be done by a Jew is an absolute requirement. In other words, if you have even in an all kosher kitchen, if a Jew is not involved in the cooking process at all, the food becomes non-kosher. That's called Bishul Yisrael. And people confuse it because Pas Yisrael is like when you're extra holy. We have a custom during the 10 days that you rush down Yom Kippur, we all try to be extra holy, we all do Pas Yisrael. But Bishul Yisrael is an actual requirement that a Jew be involved in the cooking. One of the reasons I mentioned is because of the kashrus. Another reason was that the rabbis were concerned that if a person could eat with non-Jews and drink with non-Jews, it would lead to assimilation. And in fact, it's true that Jews that eat in non-Jewish houses, that their eating is a very special thing. We when you dine with people, when you eat with people, that's a special relationship. And if you know that you can't eat in someone's house, that sets up a barrier, that sets up a boundary. If your children know that they can't eat food that's cooked in another person's house, then they will be more cautious and they'll realize there's a difference. So that's as far as cooking. Now, the cooking, the rabbis, whenever they made a decree, they didn't want to make the decree so hard that it would be impossible to live or to live with the decree. And therefore, there are a lot of loopholes to the decree. So, for example, if a Jew turns on the pilot light, if there's a pilot light and the Jew lights the pilot light, that's considered a Jew participates in the cooking. Or, let's say a Jew turns on the oven and they put the food in. That's also called the Jew participates in the cooking. They all tell the story that the Baal Shem Tov disappeared once right before prayers, and they saw him go and light his pipe at the main Gentile bakery in town. And they couldn't believe that he had to go smoke his pipe right before prayer. He said what he was doing was he was putting a match in the fire so that it would be considered the food would be considered like a Jew was involved in the cooking. So as long as the Jew participates in the cooking, let's say you come home and your housekeeper says, guess what, I made supper, and it's almost finished.
So you can run to the oven and turn it up so that at least part of the cooking is done by a Jew, and that would still be fine. Or if you have a pilot light. Foods that can be eaten raw, like vegetables, like hot water, other kinds of foods, even if they happen to be cooked, that would not be affected by this decree. Microwaves does not affect, that's not considered cooking. So if a non-Jew does a microwave, that wouldn't be considered cooking. We are quickly running out of time. I'll mention some of the others. There was a decree on milk, that milk that comes from a cow is kosher if it comes from a camel or from another kind of animal, a pig, it would not be kosher. So there was a decree that you be sure that the milk that you drink comes from a cow. And that's the decree of Chol of Yisrael. There's many authorities say that the fact that their government, the government here checks that the farm that they milk, they test it, that it actually is cow's milk. And they have fines for farmers that would not be using pure cow's milk. And in addition to that, the circumstances have changed very much so. Whereas that in Europe, you had one person that had a few cows on the farm. They also had other animals. And therefore, if they spilled some milk, they would always mix in other milk to stretch it. They added water to the milk. Whereas today on the farm, there's really no incentive for them to add a little bit of horse's milk or whatever kind of milk to the batch. And so therefore, there are many authorities that say, and these are reliable authorities, that it's not necessary to have supervision from the milking. And that's the issue of Chol of Yisrael or not Chol of Yisrael. The truth is we're running out of time, but that was one of the rabbinic decrees. There's also a rabbinic decree on wine made from a Gentile and cheese made from a Gentile. So anytime you buy cheese or anytime you buy wine, it always needs to have a heksher for that reason, because there's also non-kosher ways to make it. Okay, we'll take some questions. There are really a few other stuff. Kashrus is a subject of... I'm always studying kashrus. There's something like the technology changes and the foods that are available change. And so it's something that sometimes we feel funny. Why are we going to kashrus class? We all keep kosher. Our mothers taught us how to keep kosher. But the idea with Judaism is that it's a living religion. In other words, we're always serving Hashem and we're always looking for better ways to do it. And we always have to keep up on what's out there and be aware of it. And as we started off with that, if we take the extra precaution to be careful with things, then Hashem says He'll reward us and bring holiness into our lives. Feel free to come and look at some of the, we've got some of the different samples here, and I'll take questions now as well.